He is on a mission for men. He's written about men's issues, their struggles, finishing well, leaving a legacy, loving well, being a good dad, being a good husband. Today at the Radio Backyard Fence, author and speaker Robert Wolgemuth returns with encouragement for men to dig daily into the Bible for themselves. And that's my question to you men as you listen today on Facebook. I asked, how has reading / studying the Bible changed you? I want to hear from you today. And then a question for women, what changes have you seen in a man because he reads / studies the Bible? Think about that. I'd love to hear from you at some point in this hour at 877-548-3675, or you can answer that question on Facebook. Our lines are open here on this Wednesday of Holy Week. As we talked with Michael Card yesterday, so much of the Gospels deal with the last week in the earthly ministry of Jesus. Let's talk about it today at the Radio Backyard Fence. You'll find us online, chrisfabrylive.org. Thanks to Ryan McConaughey doing all things technical. Trish is our producer. Gabby T's in the chair today. Laura will be answering your calls. And a tip of the hat to Tom Mathis at the home office in Grand Rapids. Robert Wolgemuth is a former president of Thomas Nelson Publishers, co-founder of the publishing company Wolgemuth & Hyatt, the literary agency Wolgemuth & Associates, a graduate of Taylor University. He also received an honorary doctorate from that institution. He is the author of more than 20 books, including Lies Men Believe, Like the Shepherd, and You Can Trust God to Write Your Story, co-written with his wife Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth. He's the dad of two grown daughters, two sons-in-law, granddaddy to five, and granddaddy-in-law to one, unless that has changed. He's in Michigan today. Robert, how you doing?
Hello, Chris. It's always, always great fun to talk to you. And actually, I do have something to add. There are two greats.
No.
Our granddaughter had a little boy and then a little girl.
You're so not I old enough to have great-grandkids. There's no way.
I can show you the papers. Yes, I am.
All right. I believe you. Our featured resource today is the CSB Men's Daily Bible. You can find that at the website. Just click through today's information, chrisfabrylive.org. I'm going to start this way. I've often thought, boy, if I could walk with Jesus like the disciples did, I'd be in a much better place in my spiritual life. If I could experience life with him and the campfire and the eating the fish together. Yeah. But as I was digging into this new Bible, I realized I have that opportunity right now, right here, right now, to do that very thing. Do you agree with that? Mm.
I do. Absolutely, I do. And just so our listeners get this, I am not a natural daily Bible reading guy. I'm telling you, this is hard work for me. I'm a businessman. In fact, to have a Bible published and my name on the outside of it that says general editor takes my breath away. I don't deserve that. I know so many smart guys who deserve that more than I do. So by God's grace, my name is on the outside of this thing, and I'm overwhelmed by it, to be perfectly honest.
Well, but it goes back to that idea or that passion or the mission that God really has given you, which is to men. Yeah. We had Michael Card on yesterday, and as we walked through that last week of Jesus' earthly ministry, we were talking with him about, you know, some specifics. Tomorrow we're going to Gethsemane. We're just going to spend the whole hour there in the garden. Wow. Is there a scene during this week, a moment in the last week of Jesus' life that kind of bubbles to the surface for you?
Yeah, actually, it's right after. This is John 21. Jesus is on the shore. It's actually one of my very favorite scenes in all of Scripture. So everything has happened. Jesus has gone to the cross. The tomb is now empty. So the disciples are out fishing, and they see on the seashore Jesus, or they didn't know who it was, a person, right? And so, of course, Peter, don't you love this guy, jumps in the water and swims over to the shore because he knows it's Jesus. So Jesus is there. When Peter gets there, there's already fish on the grill. I mean, just honestly, it's so cool. So Peter he's now in the presence of the one he has denied. It's his first meeting with a living Christ. And Jesus says to him, do you love me? and doesn't just say it once. He says it three times. The interesting thing is, and you know and love Nancy, when Nancy and I were dating, I was at a Palm Sunday service. We were dating. We weren't engaged, but we were pretty sure that's where we were headed. And the Lord absolutely shattered me and said to me in that service, you know, the kids are walking down with a palm, you know, singing Hosanna. And my brain was somewhere else. And I was saying, Lord, do I love you more than I love Nancy? It hit me. In fact, I could not wait to get to the phone that afternoon, Sunday afternoon, Palm Sunday 2015, and get Nancy on the phone. And I was weeping. I was overwhelmed by the fact that I love Jesus more than Nancy. And I've not forgotten that moment. And if Nancy were on the line here, and it'd be fun if she were, she would tell you that was really an amazing moment in our relationship, because I was confessing to her that I had let my love for Jesus slide a bit. And the worst thing I can do for Nancy, the worst thing your listeners could do, would be to love anybody more than they love Jesus. They will disappoint you. They don't belong on the throne. Jesus belongs on the throne. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened that day. And I wrote an insight in the Men's Daily Bible called Taking Good Care of God's Kids. So, and it's about that text in John chapter 21. So yeah, it's after Holy Week, but it's all part of this amazing season where we consider what Jesus did before, during, and after. It's an amazing thing, isn't it?
And we remember, and then you do exactly what you were just talking about. You try to live it out. Now, some people would hear you say love Jesus is like, what does that mean? Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. You know, you'll do what I'm right. telling you to do. Not in a legalistic, oh, I've got to, you know, do this or he doesn't like me anymore. But just out of a heart that is so grateful for the forgiveness and the acceptance that we have in him, not only in him, but to the Father, because his righteousness is, you know, we get into some deep theological weeds just saying, right. love Jesus, right?
Right, yeah, and that's the way you do that, not out of obligation, but out of love. You keep his commandments. You obey him. You trust him. You read his word. You soak in it. You spend time with him. And, you know, there are places in Scripture, like Nehemiah is one of my favorite. I've always called it praying on the fly. You know, he gets this order to go back to the city, and it's in ruins. And, I mean, the whole experience, he throws these prayers up. I love that. You know, to pray, to spend time with the Lord doesn't, I mean, it may mean on your knees in your quiet place, but it also may mean in traffic, driving along a highway. It may mean going for a walk. It may mean when you're in a meeting and you're stuck and you don't know what to do or what to say. So I love that. It's the presence. That really is praying without ceasing. You're always aware of his presence, him being there, as you would any close friend who was right there with you. You'd turn over and look over your shoulder and say, what do you think of this? Or what would you do here? What should I say to this guy? How should I feel about this situation? What should I do in the midst of temptation? I love it. That's practicing the presence of God. Yeah. I love that.
Robert Waldman is with us today, and I want to turn this to you as you listen, especially any man who's listening who says, you know, I have seen the effects of both not being in the Scriptures and being there, and here's what it did for me. The story that you tell, what has happened to you being in daily in the Bible, the story might encourage some other man. Or maybe you're a woman and there's a man in your life that you love, and you've seen this in his own life. Here's the number, 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. Robert Waldman, our featured resource is the Men's Daily Bible. It's brand new. He's the general editor. There's some great people that he's brought alongside him to write articles for men. Again, the Men's Daily Bible. Find out more at the website, chrisfabrylive.org. We're talking with Dr. Robert Wagemuth today about the power of God's Word in a man's life. And if you have a story about that, reach out to us. I just saw this from Jeremy on Facebook. I feel more at peace after reading God's Word. I have a devotion I do every morning. I try to do it every morning at least. And I've been working on reading the Bible through the entire year with some of my friends at church. And I'm mainly listening to it, but I'm gathering a lot from it. And that's I'll come back to that, because listening to the Bible and reading the Bible, I like both of those. Mm-hmm. He says, I just have peace and comfort when I read it, because it's a constant reminder of God's love, and also because it's a reminder that even though I mess up, God still loves me, I'm still a work in progress, and I know that He's faithful and just to forgive me and bring me through my sins, even if it takes 1 to 500 or even 1,000 tries. Thanks for your ministry, and says some nice things about the program. Respond to what Jeremy is saying there about that peace and that comfort and the security that you feel.
Oh, so many things could be said. Back to what we said a moment ago, it's practicing the presence of God. It's being aware of His listening ear, His heart of compassion, His tenderness, His grace, His forgiveness. So like, okay, so how do you do that? Well, the Bible is His word. So He speaks to me through the words on the page. And I love the various kinds of scripture there are. I start my day every morning with a psalm. There's just something really cool about being reminded of who God is and how to worship Him with awe and wonder. Psalm 8, I have a daily insight on Psalm 8. And it's like it's overwhelming when you really get your mind around, or try to get your mind around, the awesomeness, the wonder of God. What else could you do but just desire, long to be in His presence? And you know, sometimes I think we walk into God's presence a little too casually. When my girls, now they're 53 and 50, but when they were little, we used to say, the most important thing we can do for you is pretend that we're in God's presence. I mean, so pick the most important person in the world to you, an athlete, a leader, whatever, and pretend that you're in the room with them. How would you act? What would you think? How would you speak to them? Well, you're in the presence of the Creator of the universe. That ought to change everything once we get our minds around that. So we didn't spend a lot of time talking about conduct and so forth, because we got that part clear, that when you're in the presence of God, His holy presence, everything changes. The way you speak, the way you think, how you act, all those things. So there's a reason for longing to be in God's presence. That affects your conduct. It affects your thinking, your hopes and dreams, all that stuff. And you get that when you intentionally put yourself in God's presence every morning. I'm a morning person. I love a cup of coffee and God's word in front of me. And just so you know, I'm not a natural at that. It's taken me, in fact, this morning, believe it or not, this morning was the first time I actually picked up a copy of the Men's Daily Bible.
Really?
And decided to use it myself. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is
crazy. Because I knew I was going to talk to you, and I thought, wouldn't it be fun to say to Chris, you know, this morning I started in Psalm 1, and I thought, I'm going to act like I'm Joe Schmo. And I'm going to pick this thing up and just see what I think.
Yes.
I know that's really crazy, but that happened this morning. So I'm an ordinary person. I tell you, the men and the women listening, just look up ordinary men and you'll see my picture. There's nothing special here. I'm an ordinary person who loves Jesus and is deeply grateful for His grace in my life.
Yes. Well, on Psalm 1, I'm looking at that right now. And on the page facing it is an insight for life. So there are these, well, a couple hundred of them or maybe more throughout this that are written by you and then other people that you have chosen for the insights of, or insight of the day, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Insight for life is what we call those. There are 50 of them. So the publisher said when I was starting this process, we ought to have something more than your voice. I didn't take that personally. I agreed with them. So I said, like, how many? They said, 50. Well, by God's grace, I invited 51 guys and 50 said yes. So I'm not the smart guy. I've invited some smart guys, you know, professors, yes. Pastors, teachers, authors, and they've joined me. And we have this confab going, these 50 guys and me, taking part in this project and drawing men in a very understandable way. In fact, in the foreword of the book, I tell a story, a true story, about going to breakfast with a good friend. And I brought a devotional book, and he brought his Bible. So I opened my devotional book. This is years ago. We were in Pasadena, California. And between the time that we had ordered our breakfast and it arrived, I said, okay, let me tell you the scripture that is connected to this devotional. So I gave him the scripture, and he read it. And then I said, okay, now let me read this devotional. And I started to read it, Chris. And I have no idea what I was reading. It was like the language was beautiful. It was brilliantly written. But I really, of course, I'm just an ordinary guy, but I didn't understand what the guy was trying to say in this devotional. So when I finished reading, I looked at my buddy across the table and he had this look on his face and he said, I have no idea what you just read. And we laughed, but that became the impetus for writing this project because I don't think that ought to happen. When a guy sits down by himself or with his friend and reads something that inspires him, that helps him understand something in the scripture, that says something about his walk with Christ, it ought to be so clear and so understandable that he never looks at his buddy and says, I have no idea what I just read. That is this project right there.
Yes. Well, men like Chris Brooks, who hosts the program here on Moody Radio, Crawford Loritz, you've got the late R.C. Sproul here. You got one of my favorites, Ken Boa, as well. So these are some of the men. And I mentioned that there were 200 of the what I meant by that were insights for the day, which
that's
are also
260. That's right.
260. Okay. So this is part of the way that you kind of come alongside men. I've got another question for you. Tori is on the line, though, in Michigan. Tori, why did you call today?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I just wanted to share that my husband, probably close to 13 years ago, decided that he was going to read through the Bible each year, probably a year, year and a quarter, whatever it takes, but he's continually reading through God's Word. And it's really changed him, changed just for the better, of course. We also have had a few of our daughters attend Moody. And Dr. DeRose has been a large impact on us, and not surprisingly, probably. But even one of her books, Unseduced and Unshaken, had a part in it about how men are supposed to wash their wives in the Word. Mm. And that heavily impacted him as well, because up until that time, we weren't raised in Christian families ourselves before we married that were reading their Bible on a basis regularly. So he didn't know how to do that, how to have a quiet time, how to share God's word with his family. So it's just been a really powerful thing.
I'm so glad you called. And you mentioned one of my favorite people,
Tori.
Too, Rosie. Because there are some men that will say, you know, I'm the head of the house, and you know, washing with the word means you got to agree with me on everything and sit down and listen. And it's not that kind of an attitude that draws your wife or your children toward your own heart when you lord over them. There's something different that sounds like it's going on in Tori's husband's life, Robert.
Yeah, God bless this guy. Yeah, I love it. You know, the the Bible, the scripture talks a lot about men in leadership, whether it be the church or the home. And what you do is you get out the basin, put the towel around your waist, and you lead. That's it. And, you know, women generally love to have a husband who gets that picture. I wrote a book years ago called Like the Shepherd, Loving Your Marriage with Love and Grace, or leading your marriage with love and grace. And, you know, actually I had some folks who really pushed back on that subtitle, using the word leading, because for some people around the table, that was offensive. Well, some guys are offensive, let's call it that, in the way they lead. But if you lead with a basin and a towel around your waist, and, you know, I married a lady who was 57 years old and never married, and the last thing she was looking for, listen to me, was a husband. And you know that story. Chris Fabry has some, he's kind of like the midwife in our marriage. He watched over us. But loving and serving my precious wife has been the joy of my life. You know, she didn't need me. She had decided that the Lord had called her to be a single woman. In fact, when I asked her to marry me, I said, I'd love for you to have the wedding of your dreams. And she looked at me and she said, I've never dreamed about a wedding. So you talk about throwing the gauntlet down for a man who tends to be a little competitive. I thought, okay, I'm going to make this the most amazing experience you've ever had in your life. And I think she would say, yeah, it's up there.
I'm just so glad, Tori, that you're experiencing this and you're talking about what you see in him.
Yeah.
And if there's another guy who's listening right now who's been thinking about, yeah, you know, I've been thinking about this, maybe this is the impetus for you to begin that process of not just, you know, and listening to other people teach the Bible is a great thing. I do it and I suggest it for everybody. But for them, that man to open up the Bible and begin to read. This happened to me this morning because I've been going through, you know, the what happened before the crucifixion, because we know so much about Gethsemane and we know so much about the crucifixion and then Saturday and then the resurrection. But what happened before that? And I was looking at Mary, young Mary, who was actually listening to Jesus. And when the disciples didn't get it, Mary got it. He was going to die. Others couldn't see this because they wanted Jesus to be who they wanted him to be. They wanted him to be king. They wanted to conquer the Romans. That's who Jesus, you know, the Messiah was going to be.
Right.
And Jesus had much bigger plans for them and for us. And Mary sees this. And one of the places that I was reading, it was the pound of nard that she breaks, this perfume, this very expensive gift that she gives was a preparation for him, for his own burial. And they didn't do that in one of the commentaries that I read. They didn't prepare for burial the people who had been crucified. These were bodies that they just tossed away. But for Jesus to have this done, to anoint his feet, her faith became action. It became an expression of love. So the others didn't get him, but she did. I just thought that was really, really special to step into her worship of Jesus and even to use her hair to wipe his feet with. Isn't that something?
It is wonderful. And, you know, just think of Holy Week and the involvement of women in this story, starting with who discovered the tomb was empty. Now, I love that. There's something very special about the scripture revealing to all of us how Jesus honors women.
Yes.
I think that's a really important little side thing when you read the story. Don't forget that it was the women who discovered, the angel who appeared to women, and they took off running to the disciples. And of course, the disciples chunks that they were, didn't believe them.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the other thing for me to bring it back to my heart again today and not just keep it locked in 2,000 years ago. The people around wanted Jesus to be who they wanted him to be and to do what they wanted him to do. I do the same thing today. I want him to answer the prayer in my timeline the way that I want him to. And if you really love me, you're going to do this. And what Mary was doing there was being willing to say, I want to worship you for who you are and not who I think you need to be for me. And that is the best gift that we can give him today, Amen. Is a heart Amen. That says, God, not my will, but yours be done. Not what I want or what I think I need here. You know, maybe there's some really tough stuff that you as a man are going through and you're saying, why are you putting me through this, God? And to be able to get to the point and say, I'm going to worship you for who you are and for who you are as you're walking through this with me is a great gift. We're talking with Robert Wolgemuth today. The Men's Daily Bible is our featured resource. You'll find it at the website, chrisfabrylive.org. We're talking about the change that can happen in a man when he connects with God's Word, when he connects with the Father's heart. CareNet's president and CEO Roland Warren says children have a hole in their soul in the shape of their dads. Tim had that. When he played sports in school, he saw dads cheering their sons, and it reminded him of what he didn't have, a relationship with his father. He met Cindy, fell in love with this girl, with her and her young child from a previous relationship, and he was committed to them both, and then Cindy became pregnant. And he was ready to be a dad, but she was devastated. She was not ready for more children. I say this all the time. You or someone you know will need the ministry of CareNet in your life. Tim saw an ad online about the pregnancy decision line. He called. He talked with a coach who kind of walked him through what was going on in his life, not only about the issue of life, but that caring person on the other end pointed him to the loving arms of a dad who would never abandon him, his heavenly Father. That's why we call CareNet a pro-abundant life ministry. You can read Tim's story and 39 more in a free devotional from CareNet. It's called A Lifeline of Hope. It's absolutely free. Click the green CareNet button at chrisfabrylive.org, and you can read more about this pro-abundant life ministry. Go to chrisfabrylive.org and click that green CareNet button today. Robert Wolgemuth is with me today. I just find it so great to think about, you know, the other side of this says, you pro-life people, you only care about the baby until it's born. But the people of CareNet, the story after story of people, not only, you know, the life of the baby is saved, but also the woman and sometimes the man, they're brought into a relationship with their heavenly Father through this crisis in their lives. What do you think about that?
Well, Nancy would tell you that the issue, especially this time of the year, getting ready for an election, where that's become such a watershed subject. So I talked to a good friend whose name you would know, who's been really monumental in the pro-life movement. And I said, I know that you know some of the folks, political people, leaders, and so forth. I dare you to tell them to walk up on the platform someday soon with a newborn baby in their arms. And say to the people gathered there, if I wouldn't be on the side that I'm on, this baby's life is in danger at this age. This, we're talking about babies here. We're not talking about choosing. We're not talking about rights. We're talking about life and death for little children. And the Lord has given me really the privilege over the years of publishing work by people who were pro-life sacrificially. I mean, people who spent time in prison because they picketed at abortion clinics. So, and, you know, father now of two girls and grandfather to five and great-grandfather to two, and having held brand new babies and thinking, oh God, can you do whatever possible to alert people as to what the real issue is here and protect these unborn children?
That says it all. And that shows your heart. And there are people on the other side that will say, well, you're a man. You have no reason to, you know, to say anything about this. And CareNet does such a great job of kindly, gently pushing back mm-hmm. on that, you know, because it is about life, all life, male and female. Mm-hmm. In this Bible, you're talking about men and their lives. And there's a section in here, temptation for men, infidelity, pornography, all of that, you know, is so ubiquitous today. How do you deal with something like that in the scripture?
Well, you talk about consequences. The piece that I wrote that has to do with this is actually a very familiar passage out of Genesis 39. Joseph, Egypt, Potiphar's wife. And I tell the story about flying to Washington, D.C., and sitting next to a woman on the airplane who was attractive, articulate, conversational. And I write, 10 minutes into the conversation, I felt my pulse slowly beginning to quicken. I felt myself mysteriously but unmistakably being attracted to my airplane companion, et cetera, et cetera. And so I write, my mind raced through the options. I was alone in a city where anonymity is a sacrament. Like Joseph in Egypt, I was an adult with the freedom to make any choice I wanted to make. I would probably never be found out. So what I talk about is just thinking, my mind racing. And what drew me back, Chris, was my two little girls, now they're grown, on their knees saying their nighttime prayers with their mom, my wife, and realizing that I was potentially sacrificing my relationship with them for the rest of their lives if I'd say yes to this temptation. So you don't need to be on a soapbox to tell that story and for men to get the idea, this is for real. I can't afford to make such a stupid mistake and sacrifice on the altar something that has no business being sacrificed. So it's that kind of thing. I am the friend of the reader. I'm not a preacher. There's no microphone. There's no platform. It's just me and him and a cup of coffee between us. And we're talking life. We're talking honest life and consequences for stuff that we do. And you know, God's grace is there for sure, but there are consequences often to our sin. So I'm lifting this particular story up to a guy that's reading it who says, you know what? It might be pleasure for a season or for a moment, but it's not going to be worth it. And so I'm going to say no.
And that's where it all happens. It all begins in the mind, you know, and she probably right. didn't know that this was rolling through your head, my guess is. But you, at the end of this, at the end of, I won't say the title of it because that's how it ends. But she said, we stood to leave for the plane. She said, thanks for telling me about your life. I wish more men loved their families like you do. Tell Bobby hello for me. Isn't that great? That she came back around to Bobby. And again, Bobby, for those who don't know, Bobby, your first wife passed away a number of years ago. With, wasn't it brain cancer that she was
ovarian,
going through?
Ovarian
cancer, that's right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we played her singing a hymn, walking up and down the street, you know, and this was just who she was. This was, and for you to be able to get to that point and sitting beside this man through the cup of coffee, that's really powerful.
Oh, thank you. Well, the last, very last paragraph of that piece says, thank you, Father in heaven. This is when I crawled in bed that night in a hotel room. I remember praying that night as I slipped in bed, thank you for a family who sacrificed to save my life tonight. So even though they didn't know anything about this, it was my love for them that saved my life that night.
And this is what you want to do for other men, to get them into, and this is, you know, right at the beginning of Genesis with Joseph and Potiphar's wife and all of that, for the daily struggles that men have, you want to be there along with what God is speaking in his word, right?
Right, exactly. I sure do. Oh, yes. It's right here. It's not a puzzle. It's very easy to understand. What you have to do is you have to give it time, spend time in the Word. And while you're reading and after you're reading, say, Lord, would you speak to me today? Would even maybe before you read, say, would you just pop something out that I need to hear? Speak to me this way. And he'll do that. He'll do that. He'll take our obedience and turn it into something very amazing and wonderful and satisfying, all those things. So, you know, the reward, if you will, of obedience is joy like you can't imagine. And the flip side of that is also true, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and like Jeremy wrote on Facebook, the comfort and the peace, the acceptance, the forgiveness, so many men are struggling with that. You know, am I worthy to God? You know, is he really at work in my life? If you go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org, you'll see Robert Waugumuth, general editor of the Men's Daily Bible, Christian Standard Bible, the CSB. It's at chrisfabrylive.org. What about scripture memory? We're going to talk about that with Robert straight ahead on Moody Radio. Hey, thanks for your support at Chris Fabry Live. We can't do what we do here at the Back Fence without you, your help, your support. If you give a gift of any size this month, and the month is quickly going by, sand in the hourglass, we're sending you Glenna Marshall's book, Memorizing Scripture, The Basics, Blessings, and Benefits of Meditating on God's Word. And I think one of the things that she's saying in here is it doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter where you are, what stage of life you're in, you can do this. And there are great benefits. And I want to get your take on this, Robert, because Glenna says when you get into the habit of meditating on God's word, you will, in time, notice the awakening of godly desires. You'll also observe things that used to hold attraction lose some of their shine. Mm-hmm. While scripture meditation deepens your love for God, it also dilutes your love for the things of this world. And then she says, as we're talking about today, the Bible isn't like any other book. It's God's inspired and inerrant word. And with it, he can change the way you think and reshape your affections by the way you hide it in your heart. Do you agree with that?
I sure do. And what's Psalm 119? What's the result? What's the result of hiding God's word in your heart? Why do we do that? Because it takes care of our sin problem.
Yes.
I mean, that's the net of that. So, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I love Glenda's work because she talks about memorization.
Yes.
And for those of us on the phone that have children, grandchildren, or in our case, great-grandchildren, teach them scripture to memorize. They're wet cement.
Yes.
When I was 5 years old, In first grade in Japan, we were there as missionaries. Miss Lovelace taught us Psalm 96, and I still know it word for word. That was 70 years ago.
Michael Carver was saying this yesterday. His grandmother, who had dementia problems, he said she didn't remember who she was, but Michael would sit and read the Bible to her, she would correct him when he'd get a word wrong. You know?
Don't you love that?
Because that was still there. You know?
What a great story.
Yeah, there's just a few days left. We could use your help here at the end of March, 866-95-FABRY. If you want to call the phone number, 866-953-2279, or go to chrisfabrylive.org. Again, the thank you is the little book, Robert's got a copy, Memorizing Scripture by Glenna Marshall. And you can see it right there at the website, chrisfabrylive.org. Okay, you just mentioned something else that I saw in this, a little clip about when your brother, when you were in Japan and your brother got lost. You had to ride trains to go to school. Tell me that story real quick.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. We were in a Christian school, Japan Christian Academy is what it's called now. So my daughters could say, okay, Dad, here we go. We walked a mile, we took a bus, we took two trains that included a transfer. You've seen pictures of Japanese railroad train stations. Sure. And then we got to the final destination, we had another mile to walk. And that's what we did every single
uphill,
day.
Both ways too. Right?
With our feet bound in rags. You know this story. Yeah, exactly. And one time we're on our way home, we got on the second train, and my brother Ken is gone. We have no idea where he is. It's a wonderful story because on our walk home, it's three of us instead of four of us. We thought our mother might figure that out, might say, look, there's only three, there's supposed to be four. But when we got home, my brother had gotten back on the train that took him back to school. So he showed up at school and they called my mother and said, we have Ken here. So she knew before we did that he wasn't dead. So anyway, but yes. That was an adventure for sure. Things you
but
do as a kid, right?
Your sister, at that point, had them get on the loudspeaker, didn't she?
Yes. Yeah. And they asked what this little boy's name was, and she said, his name is Kenneth Wolgamuth.
Good luck with that.
And they sat there, and so they're calling out over the loudspeaker my brother's name in broken Japanese. We couldn't even understand what they were saying, even though we knew what they were saying. So fortunately, my brother turned up okay, and he's doing fine.
Well, and part of the import of that story is to be able to hear the voice of the person who knows you best, who loves you most.
Yeah.
And so to the guy who's listening today, I want you to hear this, that there is a father who wants to draw you close and draw you near. And I think some men are intimidated by the Bible, or they feel like, you know, maybe their wife or other people know it so well, and I, you know, I'm not even going to try. But there's something about you getting involved, right?
Absolutely, yes. It's a daunting book, 750,000 words, 1,500 pages. It's a daunting book. So my plan, my hope is that I remove some of that fear, some of that dauntingness, and say, pick this thing up. We're going to go for a walk together. And I'll bet there is some stuff in there that you really be glad that you bumped into. Yeah. I mean, it's just us. No intimidation, no long words, just this guy and me and a cup of coffee between us, and we're talking about what God's word has for us. That's really the point.
It's called The Men's Daily Bible. Robert is the general editor. Would you just pray for the person, the man who's listening right now, who is, you know, this is calling to me. There's something that you're touching a nerve in my life, but I'm scared to do this, or I just don't have the time. Or would you pray for that guy?
Oh, I'd love to. Lord Jesus, I pray for that guy, whatever his name is. Whoever's hearing this, he knows exactly what I mean, and he knows that your spirit is speaking his name. So I pray that you'd remove the fear, the overwhelming sense of this massive book, what in the world am I going to do? And assure him that he's got a friend who's taken the journey, and he's going to point out the signposts and say, let's go this direction and let's walk down this turn. And we can do this together. Oh Lord, I pray that you would alert this guy that this can be done for your glory, that the life that he will begin to see himself live as a result of sitting in your presence every morning will absolutely be what he needs, the joy of the result that happens as a result of him spending time in your word. That's really what we want. And so I pray for that guy. You know his name. I don't. You know his name. Would you speak to him, nudge him if he's driving, if he's walking, if he's sitting with somebody? Speak his name. He'll know that you're talking to him, and draw him to yourself through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. One more question, Robert. There's one of these insights for the day about a man named Ken. Real quickly, but before we end here, would you tell us his story?
Yeah, I will. And this, I talked about Ken a moment ago as my brother, and this isn't the same guy. But his name was Ken. We went on a mission assignment We were both in full-time youth ministry. We went to South America. And we had an absolute nonstop amazing time teaching youth leaders and so forth. And I discover when I get home that Ken is sick, then discover that he has full-blown AIDS, and then discover that he's been living a double life since he was a young man. And so I went to see him, and he was a shell. He had lost so much weight. And so the name of this piece is I Still Miss You, Ken. And what I write, Chris, is the following. Sexual purity is not God's great practical joke on men. Testosterone mercilessly coursing through our veins. Purity is his blessing. It's his promise. If we cross this line, we will die. Even though it's been many years, I still miss you, Ken.
Just one of the insights in this new Bible. Robert Waugemuth has been with us. The Men's Daily Bible is our featured resource. It's one of the, I think, a lot of ways, Moody Radio and this program, we just introduce you to things that can help you along the trail. And if this is one for you, God bless you, friend. You'll dig into it or open up the Bible that you have on your shelf and blow the dust off and get in there and see what God will do inside your own heart. And how it will leak out into the lives of those around you as well, as we talked about wives and then children. Robert, great to talk with you. Say hi to Nancy. Hug all those kids and grandkids and great-grandkids now.
Okay? Thank you, Chris. Blessings to you, my good friend.
If you go to chrisfabrylive.org, click through today's information, you'll see the Men's Daily Bible, the CSB Men's Daily Bible at chrisfabrylive.org. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to go to Gethsemane tomorrow. We'll spend the whole hour with a couple of friends, and we're going to go into the garden, and we're going to just sit and read and contemplate what the Savior went through for you and me. Chris Fabry Live's production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.